Port of Houston Authority meeting to order at 9:15 a.m. today on October 27th. Eric, can you call the roll?
Certainly. Chairman Campo, you are here. Commissioner Clunan?
Here.
Commissioner Corden?
Here.
Commissioner Cruzo?
I'm here.
Commissioner Don Carlos?
Here.
Commissioner Fitzgerald?
Here.
And Commissioner Meese.
Did I hear Commissioner Meese?
Here.
Okay, great.
Thank you all.
Okay, great. So we have a quorum. So thank you, commissioners, and everyone else being here today. Under chairman's remarks, I'd like to make a couple of comments. First thing I'd like to do is to give a shout out to our entire team at Port Houston. Our teams working every single day, moving cargo and making sure that everyone has the essential supplies that they need. You're doing a great job, and we appreciate everything they do every single day. Well, I also appreciate our administrative staff who continue to work remotely. That's something that is a very important thing to keep all of the processes flowing and the bills being paid and payrolls being made and medical expenses being paid and all that. And I really appreciate everybody doing what they do every single day. And then last but not least, our police and fire departments that are keeping us safe and keeping all of the channel users safe in the port. So I really appreciate all those folks and what they do every single day. I'll just update a little bit on Project 11. We continue to move forward with Project 11. Still our number one priority, besides keeping our people safe, moving cargo. Not a lot has changed since last month. We're still awaiting the passage of WERDA in Congress, and hopefully after the election and before the end of 2020, that'll get done. We also need to get a subsequent designation for a new start after WERDA's authorized. Our staff is meeting regularly with industry partners to make sure that we're united in our advocacy for pushing the project forward. We have a roadmap, and we'll continue to check off critical path items to get the earliest possible commencement of construction. We expect that the design will be 100% complete in January or February. And through the commission's approval to move forward with the funding and design, it has advanced the progress of the project already by 2 to 3 years versus the normal process. We still have critical hurdles to clear, but we have a great team and strategies in place to achieve the success of this project that is really critical to our region and to our nation overall. A couple of good news stories. We got the current meter installed at the Houston Ship Channel at the 610 Bridge. And commissioners, you'll recall, we approved $125,000 project a year ago. We renegotiated the port's agreement with lower operating costs, supports our regional efforts to have current meters, from Harvey after the action reports and in conjunction with the Lone Star Harbor Safety Committee Working Group. And as a result of also the PBIRC case that suggested currents were increasing as a result of the enhanced drainage initiatives by the City of Houston. This will support the pilots to better understand impacts and decisions for safe navigations of the channel during heavy flooding conditions. This is a great example of our partnership with industry and community for another big win. And I would like to give a special shout out to our central maintenance team for their engagement in the installation of meters. Appreciate all that hard work. Just a note, there was an email sent out to the commission. We need to fill some vacant positions on the current committee assignments. Several of you have already reached out to me and shown your interest in various committees. We have vacancies on the audit committee, the governance committee, and we also need to fill the chair of the procurement and small business task force. Commissioner Clunan has volunteered for that position. And we need to confirm these positions at our November budget meeting agenda. So between now and our November meeting, I would appreciate folks to give us an indication what committees you want to serve on. If you are serving on a committee now and want to change, that's not a problem either. And then just as a note, that every commissioner is definitely invited to every committee meeting. So these are posted meetings and open meetings. So if you want to go to a committee meeting that you're not on, please make sure you do. You'll get invitations to all those, and then if all the committee meetings. And if you don't want to, that's fine as well. The last thing I want to talk about is the disparity study and status of our small business activities. We thought we would have a draft report for this meeting. It is taking a little bit longer in terms of getting it in sort of final draft form. And hopefully between now and our next meeting, we'll have a draft form that our commissioners can review. We expect that after the review, we will get a presentation from Griffin and Strong in the December Port Commission meeting on findings of the study. We also finished the small business second quarter results for 2020, and that'll be sent out to the commission very shortly. I'm pleased to report that since the inception of the program, the average small business participation rate is 37%, which is above our target goal of 35%. And we have exceeded over $600 million in awards to our enrolled small businesses, which is a great, great accomplishment of our team. I want to give a major shout out to Gilda Ramirez and her team for their outstanding achievements in this small business program. And I know that once we get the disparity report completed, that this program will continue to be a great program and further enhanced to broaden the diversity of the small business groups that we support. And one of the things that we know is that the port is all about jobs, and we need to make sure that we continue to reach out in a very broad way to help all the communities in and around the port to enhance their ability to do business with the port. So with that, I will move to the next item on the agenda, which is the approval of the minutes. So do we have a motion? We're going to do this the way we have in the past, which is Commissioner Don Carlos method, where we're going to call for only negative votes, only nay votes. So do I have a motion to approve the minutes for September 29th?
So move.
Second.
Okay. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll call for any negative votes. Okay, so no negative votes. The minutes pass. Item D1 will be staff reports. Roger?
Will you? Yes. Thanks, Chairman. And yes. Thanks, Chairman and Commissioners. Good morning to everybody, all our guests here today. Hit the highlights on what's happening in September operationally for all of our Port Houston cargo activities. At a high level, the tonnage across our public docks at all eight of our facilities combined remains about 5% below the 2019 year-to-date. General cargo continues to lag prior year. Overall tonnage of general cargo is down 39%, mainly due to import steel, which is included in that general cargo, being off by 45% for the year with the softness in the energy industry as far as drilling and things that and projects that we import steel through our docks for. But the good news is, more than 6 months into this pandemic now, a good 6 months, our container volume has exceeded the prior year in a single month for the first time since February. So the September total volume in TEUs was up 1% versus the same month in 2019. And we're only down 3% for the year. There have been no new blank sailings. And in fact, we've got more extra loaders being added to the schedule for a total now of 26, including those that have already occurred and the ones that are forthcoming. And this is being driven by import loads and is driving a solid return to our business activity. The reason for that, and it's nationwide imports are up through U.S. ports, but the main reason is a lot of these big box retailers are catching up and replenishing their inventory, which was depleted through the pandemic. And at the same time, we're in the midst of a peak season, a strong peak season, in preparation for the holiday rush. So a lot of good things, a lot of volume moving, and that's the reason for solid growth in extra loaders. And even October, looking through, we're not through the month yet, but it certainly indicates that this growth remains strong as well, and it signals a sustained upward trend and resurgence of commerce through our port. We're consistently seeing more than 10,000 gate transactions each and every day through our container terminals. And when you think about it, it's truly incredible when we enter the final quarter of the year with the unthinkable hurdles that we've had, and now we have the opportunity to handle commerce by the end of the year that will, you know, possibly nearly match what we did in a record 2019. And just furthering what Rick said, and this success has been possible to, you know, not only because of our whole Port Houston team, but our ILA labor, our truckers, our stevedores, and all of our partners through it all have continued to deliver in an efficient and competitive environment and service to serve our customers. So it's really great. It's really good feeling. I was out on the terminal last Friday with a tour with Commissioner Cruzo and spent some time out there, and you can really feel it going on out there, a lot of activity going on. I'm going to save the financial results of this for the third quarter to it's going to be presented by Mr. Duncan at the in the audit meeting, so he will present those. But you do have a one pager on page 5 in your book on the operation and financial results for September. Just a little bit of follow-up to Rick's comments on the channel. He mentioned several hurdles ahead. Just to highlight those, at some point we have to, once we get the New START designation and appropriations, whenever that would occur, we would have to do what's called a project partnership agreement, which is a legally binding contract between the Corps and us as a non-federal sponsor, and it really just kind of defines the responsibilities and cost share of the project. And we've got other contingencies in place covering all bases to make sure that we push forward with the construction. And one thing I do want to highlight, we will continue to push for federal assumption of maintenance for the section of the Port of Houston that we're obligated to. If you'll recall, we're obligated through an LPP to fund construction of a piece of the Bay Reach for $300 million. And we believe that that should be a federal obligation to assume the maintenance once that's done. So we'll continue to push for that very hard. Just a lot going on, but I think it's important to note included in this progress on the channel, we've got a comprehensive procurement strategy. I was in a meeting yesterday with our group and our consultant partners. They're working diligently. We had an industry day. Our staff had major dredging contractors to make sure to introduce them to the project, increase their awareness and engagement for participation in Project 11, working with PwC and Ecologix to make sure that we are looking at all things, including evaluating what the supplier market's gonna be and what the competing projects are gonna be whenever our project is scheduled to start, understanding the dredge demand and availability of dredges for our project. And all of this and many other things are aimed at understanding what the risk and opportunities are there so we can best package our and have a strategy for contracting for this improvement project that best suits our needs and efficiencies for getting this done. So there's a lot going on there. And I can assure you this is critical to make sure that we are successful in this project. The last thing that I'll mention is Commissioner Don Carlos last month at the September meeting asked for a report back on more detail regarding our international trade representatives. So what I've done, you know, I basically understand that just a little more color on about what it is they do. And so I tried to put together fairly detailed summary, and I've sent it to the commissioners about that, about what their engagement and how it's helped us being successful with our carriers and our cargo, beneficial cargo owners or whatever. So we can discuss that more now if there's more questions, but we've established these representatives in our foreign markets in Europe. You know, our major trade lanes, Europe, South America, and Asia, you know, having these locally based representatives with frequent and regular contact in the same language and the culture is very helpful, and maintain close contacts. And, you know, personally, I can attest to the key relationships with carriers in specific regions. We didn't do it this year because of the pandemic, but when we go meet with those carriers, you know, whether it be in Asia or Europe or whatever, we get to the very top of the organization, and all of this, our grassroots efforts here on the ground in the States, as well as our international engagement and being able to talk to the chairman and the CEOs of these organizations, without a doubt has been influential on new services that we've got even as recently in the last few years. So, you know, that's it in summary, but I'll be happy to talk about that more if there's any questions or if you need a little more detail than what I've already given you. But it's a very good question and very important subject. I think you should be aware of and know what our commercial agents are doing in foreign countries.
Commissioners, do you have any questions for Roger?
Just a comment, Roger. Thank you so much for doing that. I don't think any of the current commission has been able to actually go to where these guys work and see them working on behalf of the port. So it was very helpful for me, and I hope for everybody to understand exactly what they do. We know they're a vital part of our business and our business development. I just appreciated knowing a little bit more about who's representing us out there and their job. So, and my second comment, real quickly, is that I hope that when time comes for us to retain dredging companies for the Project 11, that we're able to factor in, when we choose one, the issues we've had with some of the companies in the past, as far as litigation and change orders and such as that. So I know that is a factor. I hope it will continue to be. That's all. Again, thank you for the update.
Yeah, and I think that those are good points. And just, you know, without going into too much, you know, there's eight different packages for this project. And, you know, we're trying to look at what's the best way, you know, one, many, you know, how that works best for us in order to get this job done in the most efficient manner. So, but great comments and certainly part of the evaluation.
Mr. Chairman, if I could make a quick comment.
Sure.
Roger, I really like the new financial highlight format on page 5. It's easy to read. It's concise. A lot of people ask, how are we doing? You know, this makes it real, real easy to communicate with the community out there and let them know, you know, how we're doing. So thanks.
Yeah, well, thank you. And Tim and Curtis and that group have done a good job in making that presentable and concise. So I'm glad it's helpful.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Any other comments, commissioners?
That's all I have.
Oh, go ahead.
That's all I have, Rick. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right, Tom, let's move on. Do we have, we don't have any public comment, right? Eric?
None that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right. If anybody has a public comment, you know, just email Erica or Eric Erickson, and we'll get you on later if you haven't been able to sign up. Okay. So moving on, executive, we have no items under F1. Tom, why don't you take us through the groupings that you want to do here on G commercial?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Welcome, Chairman and Commissioners. This is a fairly short agenda this month, but in commercial, I'd like to talk about two items. One is G3, the approval of the first lien to Community Bank of Texas, and also a second lien to Community Bank of Texas assigned to Capital Certified Development. This is for Dixie Cullen, who's one of our tenants, is building a warehouse on some of our property and needs a loan. And this is just a piece of the business practice that we staff wishes to get approved by the commission. The second one is G4. Back in 2019, the commission approved a 10% premium on any month-to-month lease. We are experienced, like everybody else, some downturns in the Turning Basin area. We are asking for the Turning Basin area that any new leases between November 1 and March 31st, we waive that 10% premium. We will reevaluate it in the early part of next year. This is for new customers. So we're trying to expand our base. We've had some major drops in vacancies at the Turning Basin. Back in January, we only had a 12% vacancy rate at the Turning Basin. In October, we're up to 26%. So we're looking to get some new customers into the terminal to lease some of our land. For all of our customers in the Turning Basin area, we are waiving the MAG, the minimum annual guarantee, for 2020. This is the tonnage that we require to be part of the lease. This is not a commission request. This is just more of information. So the commission request is to waive the 10% premium. Therefore, I ask the commission to approve items G1 through G4.
Well, motion, commissioners.
So moved.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Well, let's go to the second first, and then we'll do questions.
Okay.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay, great. All right. So let's do some questions now. Go ahead.
Yeah, Tom, I've had a few calls from some of the folks that lease the steel yards on top of the hill, and I'm glad y'all waiving that guarantee. And I know it's probably won't happen, but are they seem to be pretty happy now?
They're appreciative that we're waiving the MAG. Some of them already had met it, others had not. So it's just more of a help than anything else. I don't think it's going to solve anybody's problems, but it will help a little bit.
Well, that's good, because you know everybody knows they're going through some tough times with the steel, and we don't want to lose them. So when this business comes back, we need those folks.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Tom, if some of them have paid it and some of them haven't, are we going to refund the ones that have paid it?
No.
They don't pay it until the end of the year if they don't meet it. It's just a tracking of tonnage. We say they have to move 10,000 tons per acre.
Okay.
Per year. Okay. So if they move it, then they don't pay anything and we go on with life. If at a normal year, if they don't meet it, then they pay the shortfall, which is just the regular fee for the shortfall tonnage.
Okay.
Any other questions, commissioners? Hearing none, all, are there any negative votes? Hearing none, the motion passes. Tom?
Finance, I'd like to talk about one item, and that's H2. We are asking the commission to authorize the reduction of the investment rate of return assumption for our restated retirement plan and OPEB from 6.5% to 6.25%. You might remember that in 2019, we did this, we dropped it a quarter percent as well. That time, we had to fund an extra $5 million to make up for the decision. But because of recent actuarial experience study results, there's a favorable reduction in our assumptions. So this decrease of a quarter of a percent will not cost us any additional funding. The other part that is needed is the retirement plan itself. The funded ratio only drops from 92.94% to 92.79%. And the OPEB funded ratio drops from 116% to 113%. This is all part of our plan. We've been talking for years about getting that assumption rate down to between 5.5 and 6%. So we're well on our way. Just to give you an idea in terms of the average in the state is at 7.29, and nationally it's 7.22. So not only is our funds of funded well in terms of 92 and 113, the whole point is to make our system stronger, and this will do that in the long run. So I ask commission to approve items H1 and H2.
So moved.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments, commissioners?
I have a comment. You're exactly right, Tom. This will make our fund much stronger, and that's good work. And hopefully we can get it down even lower, but this is a real good news. Thank you.
Other commissioners? The only comment I would make is that I agree with everything that's going on, and you're exactly right, Commissioner Corgi, makes us stronger. The key also to this is that we have the funds to be able to fund, and that is a function of the great stewardship and management team that we have at the port. And so if you didn't have the cash to fund it, then you couldn't really start pressing these numbers down. And that's what the problem is in America, is that most people, most pension funds and states and entities do not have the cash to fund it, and we do. So that's great. So I'll call for the vote. Any negative votes? Hearing none, the motions pass H1 and 2. Okay, let's move on to infrastructure.
Okay, infrastructure, item I2, to approve the amendment to WJE for additional corrosion baseline inspection of 8 wharves. This is all part of our FECAP program, our facility inspection and condition assessment program, which is part of our asset management program. This is the where we are evaluating all of our facilities. So this will get us where we will now have a baseline of 11 wharves looking at the corrosion, both above the water line and below the water line. Half of this fee is actually inspections below the waterline. I-6 is part of Project 11. We hired Atkins North America to be our eyes and ears against the design for Project 11, doing peer reviews. They have completed the 65% peer review with a lot of positive responses, both from our internal staff and our consultants, that they've been doing a good job in terms of trying to find the areas that need to be part of the ultimate design to keep us from having to spend extra money in construction because things aren't designed totally properly. So this $600,000 is for the 100% peer review, which now looks like it will probably be happening sometime early next year. Another Project 11 item is I-7. Back in July, we brought to you 7 pipelines that had to be moved in segment 4. The the federal law requires the local sponsor to pay half of the design, permitting, and construction of the movement of pipelines. So we have found a eighth pipeline that needs to be moved. So all we're asking at this point is for the $1 million, which is half of the cost to design the eighth pipeline movement. So with that, I ask the commission to approve items I-1 through I-13.
Is there a motion?
Set motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and second. Any questions, commissioners?
I have a question on number one.
Okay.
We're awarding a contract, and I see that we jumped it, which doesn't bother me at all. I think the reasoning was right. But what bothers me, wasn't a contract for like 118, 119, something like that, yet we're approving 150. I'm not for sure I picked up on that right.
When we do this bid, we are trying to get a per foot cost to replace fencing. We have $150,000 every year in our budget for replacing fencing. So what we do is we get the per foot cost, and then we will do as much of fencing we can do within our $150,000.
So you're just building your change order in right now?
No, we know we
need. That's the way I look at it.
We want to spend, we our budget is 150, so we get as much fencing as we can for that 150.
So it's, Commissioner Meese, it's not a change. It's all of the vendors bid on a unit price. So that's our way. We estimate a number of units for them to bid on, but we allow for a not to exceed contract based upon that unit price.
Not a problem. I understand.
Any other questions, commissioners? Hearing none, are there any negative votes? Okay, hearing none, items pass. Go ahead, Tom.
In operations, I'd like to talk about J2. This is the annual software maintenance support for our system called Asset Works for M5. This is our fleet and fuel management system. It's basically how we perform our preventative maintenance activities. So we've been using this software for 22 years. Obviously, we've developed it over the years to include fuel, which it did not used to. So this is a very important piece of our maintenance group maintaining all of our equipment. So with that, I ask commission to approve items J1 and J2.
So moved.
Second. Anybody have a second?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments from commissioners? Hearing none, let's go to the vote. Any negative votes on J1 and 2? Hearing none, motions pass. Go ahead, Tom.
Under people, I'd like to talk about item K2, to authorize the option years with locked-in companies. Lockton is our broker of record for employee benefits. That we had original a 3-year contract. This is what was in the original deal, was a 2-year option. So we're asking permission to approve that 2-year option. No price increase. And the important part, Lockton was very instrumental in our conversion from a fully insured to what we now have self-funded employee benefits packages. So it has helped us. It saved us about $600,000 in 19. 20 is going to be a little different just because of the usage of medical facilities, but it's still going to save us a lot of money because we weren't just paying premiums with people not using the service either. So it's been a good partnership. After this 2 years, we will go and bid it out again, as is our process. But we're asking for the approval of the option years that were in the original contract. So with that, I ask commission to approve items K1 and K2.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments, commissioners? Hearing none, any negative votes? Okay, hearing none, items K1 through 2 are approved. Item L1?
L1 is just our annual agreement with the Houston Ship Channel Security District. It's their annual assessment. One piece of new area covered is we now have a membership in the cybersecurity ISAO, Information Sharing and Analysis Organization, which will help our IT group combat cybersecurity. We have a board seat at the district, and so I ask commission to approve item L1.
Motion.
Okay.
Second.
All right, any questions or comments, commissioners? Hearing none, are there any negative votes? Hearing none, the motion passes. Technology.
Items 1 and 2 are connected to each other. They're purchasing some hardware and then some licensing. We have over 200 people who can access our Navis system through their own computers. We were having some problems, and it caused delays and shutdowns at the terminal because people weren't always updating the version that they were supposed to be using in terms of the how they get to the Navis system. So what we are doing, after a lot of work by ops and IT, we are going to set up a server where now, instead of people going directly from their desktops to Navis, they're going to go through our server, and then that will take them to Navis. This allows us to maintain the server up to date at all times, so we won't run into this problem, which has been causing us issues at the gate when it happens. It basically puts it into a loop. So if somebody goes in without the right version, it takes a long time to find what they're trying to get, and it slows everything down. So each one of them is about $70,000. So we're asking for, between the two, $140,000. So with that, I ask the commission to approve items M1 and M2.
So moved.
For a second?
Second.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Any negative votes? Hearing none, items M1 and 2 pass. We are now going to go to an executive session. So I think everybody knows how to do that. You will leave this meeting. And Eric, do you want to read something for this?
I will do that. It is now 9:53 a.m. The Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority of Harris County, Texas will convene a closed meeting as permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code to conduct a private consultation with attorneys, including consultation regarding proposed amendment to the agreement with legal services with Boyer Miller, deliberate regarding real estate, including disposition of Barber's Cut Terminal and Turning Base Internal Vicinity Properties and Pelican Island Property, economic development negotiations or incentives, and security-related matters. Court Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
See if we got everybody here and start, Commissioner Meese can join us.
Okay, I have a motion that I would recite and request that a commissioner adopt this. It's a motion to authorize the executive director to negotiate on behalf of the Port Authority regarding disposition of property located on Pelican Island on the terms discussed in executive session.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Any questions or comments, commissioners? Hearing none, are there any negative votes? Hearing none, the item passes.
Okay, I have a second motion to authorize the Port Authority to amend its agreement for legal services with the law firm of Boyer Miller on the terms discussed in executive session, and to authorize the chief legal officer to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Second.
Commissioner Fitzgerald, did you second that?
I did.
Okay, great. So we have a motion and a second. Are there any questions or comments, commissioners? Hearing none, are there any negative votes? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Is that it, Eric?
I believe so, unless you have any concluding remarks.
I made my remarks at the beginning. I appreciate everyone being on the call today, and we'll see you next month.